Welcome to MTG Pro Tutor, your gathering of insights, tips, and advice from renowned players and community icons. Connect with venerated teachers to gain the knowledge you need to improve your skills. Now, here's your planar guide and personal tutor, Sean Penrod.
Hello and welcome. This is episode 306 of the MTG Pro Tutor Podcast. I am Sean Penrod, your host, and I'm so excited that you are joining us today. Our guest today has a really cool name. It's very fun to say. I kind of messed it up in the interview, but I've been practicing since then. So anyways, it was just fun to say. So really cool guy. Super awesome tips and tricks coming your way. Before we dive into that, I want to say thank you to Paragon City Games for their support of the show. They are a sponsor of the show. They provide the prize support not only for the monthly giveaways that we do for the patrons, but also for the sealed leagues that we do every set. In fact, we just wrapped up our M19 sealed league, and it was a lot of fun. It was a blast to play with you, the Prodigies, those who joined in. It was really cool, and congratulations to Zach, who took down the whole event. It was really cool. The top eight, of course, get prizes for participating, and everyone who participates gets to keep their pool, so that's pretty neat. And Zach, we will be sending you a M19 bundle, compliments of MTG Pro Tutor and Paragon City Games, so thank you so much for playing. Also, I want to say thank you to the patrons. It's because of you that the show keeps going. And in fact, today we get to announce the winner of the patron only, the patron exclusive giveaway for the month of September. So drum roll, please. The winner of the patron exclusive giveaway for the month of September is none other than Nikki Mullane. Nikki, congratulations. Thank you so much for your support as a patron of the show. And hey, thank you for participating in the Sealed League as well. Nikki is a regular now. She's been in the last several Sealed Leagues, and she always does really good. So if you want to take Nikki on, then come join us in the next Sealed League. But Nikki, again, thank you so much for your support as a patron of the show. And we'll be getting a hold of you to send out your prize shortly. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Well, that moves us into our events. This weekend, we have GP Denver and GP Nagoya. So good luck if you're headed out that direction. I desperately wanted to make it out to GP Denver, but alas, couldn't swing it this time around. So go out there and have fun, represent the Prodigies, and let us know how you do. How about that? All right. Well, I'm sure you're as excited as I am to hear from our esteemed guest. So without further ado, let's bring him in, sit down, and talk about magic. What's up, everybody? I'm really excited to have our guest with us today. Our guest is a level 2 judge who got 8th place at Grand Prix Orlando 2018. Coming to us from Moscow, Russia, Prodigies near and far, let's welcome the one, the only, Arseny Igorov. I probably messed that up, but Arseny, how are you doing today?
Doing good. Hello, everyone.
Awesome. We're so excited to have you. Are you ready to delve into your mind and share with the audience tips and tricks to take it to the next level?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, all right. Excellent. Let's do that. Sweet. Now, Prodigies, if you want to connect with Arseny, you can find him on Twitter at Sid_Randall, and that's Sid with a C, C-I-D, or on Facebook. We're actually going to get him into the MTG Pro Tutor Facebook group. That might be the best way to find him. You can do a post, tag him in the post, and then ask him a question, say thanks for being on the show, but that's where you can find him. So if you're not part of the group, go ahead and join mtgpro2.com/Facebook group. You'll be redirected there, and Arseny will be in there, and that's how you can find him, the best way to go about that. So sweet. So Arseny, you are out there in Moscow, and we want to learn about you before we do all the magic stuff. Are you born and raised in Moscow? Is that where you're from?
No, I born and raised in Ufa. It's a capital city of Bashkortostan Republic of Russia. It's somewhere in the middle of Ural Mountains. Then at some point I moved to Moscow because it's much easier to travel around the world from Moscow.
Cool.
Because, you know, Russia is a kind of big country.
Yeah.
most of the time you need to fly to Moscow first, and only after that you can go somewhere.
Makes sense. Neat. And so what are you doing out there? Are you going to school? Are you working? Is magic all you do?
So currently, magic is my full time. I couldn't say job. It's my full time thing. So I'm judging. I'm playing. I'm trading sometimes. So yeah, magic is all my life.
Love it. That's really fun. It's so neat to talk to people who are doing that. You know, and that's really neat. And so, how often are you judging? Like, do you judge all the time, or what's that like?
Almost every weekend. Mm-hmm. So this weekend. I'm really happy to be at home in Moscow because I have some time to relax and also to talk to you and to the audience. Next weekend, I'm going to be in Nagoya, judging. So yeah, almost every weekend, I'm going to GP or other tournaments. Sometimes I'm judging locally. Yeah, like pro releases and other big tournaments. The tournaments in Moscow is quite big.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, the last pro release, I judged the night pro release here in Moscow in our biggest WPN store. And we had like 150 players.
Wow, that is big.
Something like that.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Has there been a Grand Prix in Moscow?
Yeah, there was a free GP Moscow.
Okay.
One was a long, long time ago, like 15 years, around 15 years. Then after that, there was a huge gap, 10 years without nothing. And then there was two consecutive GPs in 2012 and 2014. But I'm not sure that we will have GPs in Moscow anymore.
Why not?
Well, you know, it's mostly their logistic problems.
Oh, okay.
Because Russia is not the part of European Union or something like that. So in order to make a GP, you need to make their working visas for everyone and so on and so on.
Yeah,
and also
big logistics.
For players.
Okay.
Yeah. And also for players, it's quite hard to come to Russia as well because you need visas and that kind of stuff.
Okay.
So mostly because of that.
All right. Well, cool. Awesome. So you're out there in Moscow. You're judging almost every weekend. And but the Magic scene is good out there. You said that, you know, 150 people at a pre-release is pretty good. And traveling to Grand Prix all over the world, judging and getting to play, and that's really neat. And so where did you come into Magic? We'd love to hear your origin story. So take us back in time and tell us the story. We want to be right there with you the first time that you saw or played with Magic cards.
Yeah, so my first time I met the Magic cards was a really, really long time ago. I don't actually remember that because I was a like super young kid, and my mother brings some cards from the friend of her. He was in the United States, so he brought some gifts. So he brings them to me. Probably I ate them, not play, because I was like a small kid. I don't know. Maybe I have like, now I have a golden stomach because I ate Black Lotus.
Oh my gosh.
maybe that's possible that I ate like Alpha Black Lotus.
That's funny.
Yeah, I still have the wrappers from those booster packs, the Alpha booster packs. That was from like long time ago. Actually, I came into Magic, I think it was around Invasion or like somewhere around here. I was in school. I just played with my friends. But more competitively, I came into Magic it was the Mirrodin, their Scars of Mirrodin. So right before Innistrad. I just Googled. So my friends brought some booster packs, and they was like, hey, you know, there is a Magic game. It's pretty cool. And I was like, yeah, I played that long time ago. So we played in the kitchen.
Right.
At my friend's house, and at some point I was like, probably there is some other people in our city. I was in Ufa at that point. So I Googled their WPN store, and actually it was really, really close to my house. So I went there, and I found a lot of our other players, and I started playing tournaments, and well, that's how it happens.
That's awesome. So you had some friends. So other than the first time when you were eating Black Lotuses, so you had
yeah.
your friends just showed up like, hey, we have these cards. Let's hang out and play.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
And the cards are in Russian, out there for you, right?
Yes.
Super cool. That's really fun. And then you're like, hey, let's see if there's any more going on. And there was a store really close and started getting into it that way. Nice. So yeah. What would you consider to be your first set?
Well, I would say it's scarce because I consider myself as a competitive player. I'm not really playing casually. I don't know, fortunately or unfortunately, I mostly don't have time for that. And the first time I started playing competitively was in Scars.
Cool. Very cool. And what is your favorite set?
That's a good question. I don't know my favorite set. I know my favorite card, but my favorite set... I don't know. That's a hard question. That's a really hard question. There is so many interesting sets. I would go for unpopular one. I would say Kamigawa.
Excellent. Champions or saviors or the whole block or what?
The whole block. Cool. I just really like their East theme. You know, like their Asia things. So, cool. Yeah.
Very fun. Now, obviously, the next question is, what is your favorite card?
Yeah, well, my favorite card is Shahrazad.
Which one?
Shahrazad.
Ooh, wow. Okay, so what is that card? What does it do? And why do you like it?
This is a card from, if I'm not mistaken, it's from Arabian Nights. It was only there. So it's a sorcery for double white. It says players play a magic subgame using their libraries as the decks. Each player who doesn't win the subgame loses half their life rounded up.
Oh my gosh.
Basically, it allows you to play magic while you play magic. So it's more magic. I really love this game.
Yeah.
I really like this card. Yeah.
Does it? I mean, it sounds like it would just make for really long games. Because then you play this whole game, and then the only result is that you lose half your life?
Yeah, that's why it's banned everywhere. Like, it's banned in Legacy and Vintage. It's even banned in Commander, so...
Man, yeah, that's crazy. That's fun, though. Yeah, that's fun. So how did you get around liking that card?
Sorry?
How did you get around liking that card? Like, what made you go, oh, this is a cool card?
I think that was one of their first cards I remember when I was a kid. And when we played, when I played in school, I don't remember where it comes from. But when I first saw it, I was like, wow, that's a really cool card. And you know, all those memes, about cycling, about their, like when you do something, while you do something. And I was like, wow, that's a really meme card. Neat.
That is cool. Shahrazad. Well, nobody has said that on the show before, so you have made MTG Pro Tutor history by saying Shahrazad is your favorite card. That's cool. That's a lot of fun. It's fun to hear, you know, where you came from and what you have going on and some of your favorites and connect with you on that level. So that's pretty neat. And so we would love to, you mentioned you started going to the store, started getting competitive. And that's kind of where your focus is now. We would love to dive into that. So when you started getting more competitive with Magic, what was an early challenge or an early struggle that you faced?
I think my first challenge was to find their to find the real competitive tournaments and to play them, because in Ufa it's a really small city. So at that point we had only one store, and it wasn't really a store. Like now it's not working. It doesn't exist at all. So at that point it was a really, really small store. It was in a hobby center. It's working only at Saturday and Sundays. It it was more like a, you know, the board game club, not even a store.
Yeah.
Like they don't have product to see. The guy who running that just brought everything, like every Saturday and Sunday, he just brought bags of product. And it was like, does anyone want to buy something like boosters or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
Or sometimes you just need to go to his house to buy something. And most of the tournaments was just like regular tournaments like FNMs and, you know, that kind of tournament that even if you can win good prizes like booster packs and that kind of stuff, you cannot win something really big, like, I don't know, invites to somewhere, even to like a Moscow tournament or something like that. So I was struggling to find the big tournaments. So I started traveling. I started traveling to other cities around. I started traveling to Moscow. I asked if he can organize Grand Prix trials. At that point, that was a thing. Now it doesn't exist. Not because I want to, not because I going to GP. At that point, I doesn't even have a international passport to travel. But I just want to play something more competitive.
Mm-hmm.
So we're struggling for judges because we don't have judges at all. So I start traveling. I start playing competitively in Moscow. And also at that point, there was our second GP Moscow. But for me, that was our first GP Moscow back to 2012. So then to play there, I met many people from all around the world that came to play Magic. And also I met judges. First time I encounter those people, and I was like, wow, that's kind of cool, but I don't know how it works. So I came to talk to them. It was their uncle Scott Marshall and Riccardo Tessitori. They were head judging that tournament, and I came to them. I was little bit scared of them,
yeah,
because you know they like are the old guys and they rule everything there. I was a little bit scared. I came to sign my playmat, and they was like, "Oh, hey, how are you doing?" And start chatting with me, and I realized that they are normal people like me, like others, and they're really cool. And that's how I hooked into judging. And I was like, I want to be like that person. They're really cool. I want to help other players. So, as I said, I start traveling. I start playing Magic in Moscow, and I became a level one judge and start judging as well. And because I became a level one judge, I start to make a competitive community, in UFA, because now we can run GPTs and we can start thinking about, bigger tournaments. Well, I couldn't play them.
Right.
Because I have to judge them.
Yeah.
But at least I feel that our other players start playing more seriously. So that was a really good thing for me, because I could play in other cities.
Okay.
So I start traveling around, not only to Moscow, but to other small cities. First playing GPTs, then PTQs. Back in time, it was a thing as well. And WMCQs, sometimes I judge them, sometimes I play them. Now I do the same with the GPs. Sometimes I judge them, sometimes I play them. Then I became a level two, and I start playing GPs and judging them.
Man, that is really cool. So, like that journey is so I love it because you started out in a really small area with not really competitive scene at all. And then as you started traveling, kind of seeing and connecting with the larger Magic community and then learned about judges and what that's all about. And then you brought that back with you and kind of cultivated the competitive scene in your area. And then you were able to still travel and go and play, obviously, in tournaments elsewhere. So you can get your, get your play time in as well. That's really cool. And so that's just so neat to see how the Magic community just kind of spreads and grows and in different ways. Like for you, it was through the judge community and wanting to be like that and learn that skill and then bring that with you back home. And I think that's so neat to hear how your journey and growth has been along the way. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Probably most of you remember that a very popular Wizards advertisements. Play the game, see the world.
Yes.
For judges, it was like judge the game, see the world as well. Mm. So that's how I became international judge and also competitive player. I start traveling, and then I start traveling internationally. So it's just growth exponentially. That's really cool. I really like this game, not only because that's a cool game itself. I tried many other card games, but none of them hook me so hard as Magic because mm-hmm. it's really complex. But at the same time, it's like quite easy to start. It's easy to learn how to master. And it's also allow you to travel.
Yes.
Of course, you can just travel. You can just go to Italy for the vacation and eat some nice pizza and pasta and see the beautiful cities. But if you compare that with Magic, it's much better because you play your favorite game and at the same time you can do their other stuff. So it's like double the fun, right?
Yeah, no kidding. I love that. Double the fun. So do you have any, do you have any fun judge stories that kind of stand out? Really intricate situations or something cool?
You mean like the things that that happens in the venue or just stories related to...
Just at all. Being a judge, you have... the situations that you get in are different than, what players get in when they're playing and stuff like that. So anything interesting from the judge side of you that that you remember happening at an event?
When you ask that kind of questions, everything completely disappears from my mind.
I know how
like,
that
like,
is.
Like, there was there. And then you ask the question and there's the poof.
Yeah, I know how that is. Like, I have stories, really. I know. Yeah, so it's
yeah. Like, I had stories and then and they're gone. They're gone completely. Interesting stories. They're all gone.
Like, I don't know, a stack of like 20 things or something crazy?
I remember one. So that was one of the GP in United States I judged. Mm-hmm. I think it was GP, like the last GP Charlotte. I think so. So on the day two, it was like round 15, I think. So it's not the not even the beginning of the day two. On one of the high tables, that was a legacy GP. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So maybe it's not a Charlotte. I don't remember. So that was a legacy GP in US. On one of the high tables, I saw a deck that playing Shared Fate. So that's the Shared Fate deck. Do you know that card?
I don't. Let me look it up.
So that's an enchantment. I don't remember the cost. So let me see. So Shared Fate. Yeah. So it's a four blue enchantment. Mm-hmm. It's from Meridian, by the way, from the old one. And it says, if a player would draw a card, that player exiles the top card of one of their opponent's libraries face down instead. Each player may look at and play cards they exiled with Shared Fate. So, like, speaking super casually, you start playing from your opponent's library.
Yes.
So the guy playing the deck around Shared Fate in Legacy. So he cheats Shared Fate into the game some way, like Show and Tell, Soul Lens, like just put it very, very fast. Mm-hmm. And then, like, the whole of his deck is garbage. Like, there is nothing, like, in his deck, he cannot win at all. I mean, like, there is no win condition in his deck. It's, like, completely garbage. Really, really bad cards. So, if he played Shared Fate, his opponent start playing from his library. But there is no good cards in that. That, like, there is no creatures to win. There is no other spells that you can win the game. But he could win because he start casting things from his opponent's library. I saw this guy playing, and that was ridiculous because every time he played Shared Fate, his opponents was like, what this card do? They start reading. They start calling a judge because they don't understand what this card do. They don't understand the interaction with their with other cards, like a Brainstorm, for example.
Yeah.
Because, like, it says that if you would draw a card, you exalt the top cards of the opponent's library.
Oh, so they okay. Play, yeah.
So they play in Brainstorm, and they like, wow, okay, so I'm exiling the things, but I need to return something from my hand. Oh no, I just lose the good cards from my hand that I tried to keep.
Oh man.
I mean like from my real hand.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
all of those weird interactions. So there was a lot of questions from the players that playing against that guy. Because that was my zone of judging. Usually we divide their whole four zones for okay. The teams.
Cool.
So I decided to keep around the table to answer to all that weird questions that happens from the opponents.
That's awesome.
And he just like keep killing his opponents with his own creatures or his own spells. That was pretty funny.
That is pretty because funny.
Because most of the time they don't even understand what's happening. Like he played that Shared Fate enchantment, and they was like reading it. Okay, yeah, I guess that resolves, and I see that like he's holding Force of Will in hand, so he can counter it. Yeah, I guess it's fine. That resolves. Okay. End of turn, I casting Brainstorm, and he trying to draw from his own library. No. You should exile the cards from your opponent's library.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
Oh my gosh.
Oh. Yeah.
That's really cool. Oh man. Yeah, that's an awesome story. I'm reading that card and I'm hearing your story and I mean, this was, like you said, round 15 or whatever. So he made it pretty deep. So that's a pretty cool strategy to come up with to do that. That's pretty fun.
Yeah, unfortunately, he didn't make the top eight, but still, he played on day two on high tables. That was pretty nice.
That is so fun. You pack your deck with that card, and then Shared Fate, and then any way to get it out, and then the rest of the cards are just garbage. That's really funny.
Yeah.
That's cool. And then you just take your opponent's deck and beat him with it. I like that. That's fun. That's neat. And then as a judge, you know, you got to see that. And because obviously, so there in that tournament, you know, only, 15 other people got to experience that. but you were able to judge it and see that and answer all the questions. And now we have that cool story. So that's pretty clever. I like that. So as you have played Magic, your journey through Magic, you've had ups and downs along the way, like everybody has. What would you say has been your worst Magic moment? And then what did you learn from that experience, Arseny?
The worst. I really like that game. I don't think that I have the worst moment, but maybe that was I really like to sleep. I'm a really lazy person, and I really like to sleep, and it's really hard for me to get up. That was GP. That was one of the Spanish GP. I think that was GP Madrid. I don't remember the year. I was a player. I made it day two, and then I couldn't wake up for the day two.
So
I came like two rounds later. And my friends just like went to the venue and did not wake up me because they was like, "Oh, we didn't know that you made it day two."
Oh no!
I mean, that was they said. I don't know, but maybe they just like don't care, or maybe they just forget. I don't know. But they said like, we didn't know that you made it day two, and I woke up around like 11 or 12 a.m. I look at the clock. That's 11.
Oh no.
Oh, and the day starts at like 8. I should be in the venue. Yeah. Okay, nice day too. I will sleep more. And I just like went sleeping. I think that was the worst thing.
Oh, so you didn't even go?
That happens to me. Well, I went there, but maybe like at 2 or 3 p.m. Obviously, I didn't went for playing the main event that I made a day two, because they already dropped me, because like it was a 2 or 3 rounds of day two already.
I didn't
showed up for the day one, so they dropped me, and because I didn't showed up later to say do not drop me, they dropped me completely. So.
Oh my gosh! So making day two,
I decided to sleep.
A little bit more. So, looking back on that, did you take anything away? Did you learn something that you can share with us?
You mean from that worst experience?
Yeah, from that experience. What did you learn? What can you share with us?
Yeah, well, I learned that I need to put more alarms if I want to play
more
Magic.
Alarms.
Yeah, Magic really early. So just put more alarms, and also every time tell your friends if you made something. I don't remember the English word. I'm really sorry. Not native English speaker. Like little bit bossy or... I don't know, like too cool, or how to say that. For me, the day two, like for myself, the day two is not a really great achievement.
Mm-hmm.
I made a lot of day twos. Most of them ended up with nothing, like no pro points, no cash prizes, whatever, like nothing. Like, don't think that I'm the person that looks from the top of the casual players and think, oh, that garbage players, they know nothing about the game. No. It's nothing about that. But for me, it's not really a great achievement. So making a day two is like, yeah. For me, that was pretty normal to not say to my friends who don't know that I made a day two, don't say them that I made a day two.
Yeah, got it. Got it.
So for other players who doing the same thing, like not celebrating the day two, I suggest to at least tell your roommates that you made a day two.
At least tell your roommates.
So they can wake you up if they will wake up earlier.
That's fun.
And
good advice.
More alarms.
Yeah, and set more alarms. I like that. That's funny. So obviously the flip side are our highs. What would you say is your proudest Magic moment to date?
Well, I would say that's I would separate that for the like proudest judging moments and proudest players moments. For players' perspective, that's our top 8 of GP Orlando. That's a really, really nice moment. And I really sad for the guy whom I top on the top 8. Like there was another guy with the same points who made the ninth place. Mm-hmm. And the difference between me and him was like a 28 thousandths of percent in staying.
Oh my gosh.
So that was like almost nothing. And the proudest moment was when their head judge are saying their names of the top eight players. And he was like naming them and like fifth place, sixth place. And I was like, and it's still not my name. And I was like, oh, probably I'm not in top eight. And then he was like in the eighth place. And obviously the pulse. I was standing near their judge station and he was like, Arseny Yegorov. And all the judges in the room was like, yay! And I was super happy. Not only because I made a top eight, that was a cool and great achievement for me and really, really huge achievement for me. But also because I saw how all of my friends and all other judges who don't even know me is really happy about me.
Cool. That is cool. That's neat to have that support among the judge community. That's cool.
Yeah. And as a judge, I think their greatest, the most proud achievement for me happens when I get accepted to Japanese, Japan GPE for the first time. It's quite hard to get accepted to Japan GPE.
Why is that?
As a judge. Because there is a lot of judges who wants to judge Japanese GPs, so not so many slots for many people, and also you need to have like their Japanese GPs. There is a set group of judges that have like special skills, or they just have an experience on that tournaments. So there are flexible slots is not the high number of flexible slots there. And you need to have something special to get there. I mean, like you need to know language or you need to be an expert in some way to get there. I applied for like 2 years consecutively for all Japanese GPs. And finally, when I get accepted, I was super, super excited and super happy.
That's cool. So what's your specialty? What do you know language or like what's your, how'd they bring you in?
Nothing. I still don't know. I still don't know why I get accepted. Like I don't have any specialties. I'm just a regular judge.
Well, that's nothing so special. Cool. I can see why you're really excited then to, so it is, You say you're going off to GP Nagoya in a couple weekends. Is that going to be your first Japanese GP?
No. Currently, I'm judging almost all Japanese GPs.
Okay, cool.
So that would be in Nagoya next weekend and then Shizuoka at the end of the year as well.
Good for you. Oh, that is so fun. So it's fun to hear, you know, what you learned from dips and then, you know, experience some of those highs with you. So getting us, you know, in the judge community, getting accepted to Japanese GPs is cool. And then doing well, you know, making top eight and then having the judges cheer. I can see that would be really awesome. So when you made that top eight, what did it mean to you as a player? How did that feel? And knowing that you made it into the top eight, what was that like?
So there was two things. First, well, I lost in the top eight. Like I went to the top eight and lost in the first match. So there was two of me feelings differently. The first me was really, really happy and excited because that's a really, really great achievement for me. That was the biggest achievement for me. I couldn't say like I went to Orlando straight from their PT Minneapolis. That was our the team PT, and our team qualified on that PT from their from the RPTQ. That was my first Pro Tour as well. But going to Pro Tour, I think it's easier than making the top 8 of the GP. So I was super excited, and also that make a, you know, that give you invite for the next PT. Mm-hmm. So I was super happy, super excited, and also because I didn't tell anything to all of my friends. I mean, like the progress of the GP, like how I'm going. I also was super excited to see if they will find out that I made a top 8 or not, mm-hmm. because I'm not going to tell them. And then, like, they start messaging me. They find out that they saw their coverage, their text coverage, and they was like, oh, you made a top 8. So I was super excited. And the second me was kind of upset because I lost in top 8. Not because of their loss itself. And it's also not about the prizes or whatever. It's more about the opportunity. Because for, I couldn't say that I'm a good player. I couldn't say that I'm like a professional player or whatever. I mean, like, I'm trying to play competitively. I'm trying to play big tournaments and like playing good decks and make great achievements. But I'm not really a good player. I'm not a pro player. So making a top 8 is a really big achievement. And I don't know when I will have a chance to make it again. Mm-hmm. I will try, obviously. I will try hard, but I don't know. So it's much easier to win in top 8 than to make a top 8.
Yeah, okay.
Just you know, just by math.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was quite sad and upset of myself that I didn't progress further because I don't know when I will have the chance again.
Do it again. Yeah, I can see that. I can see that being, yeah, two sides, you know, for sure. So how many Pro Tours have you been to?
Well, just one. PT Atlanta going to be my second one.
Okay, awesome. And it will be your first individual Pro Tour because the last one you went to was the team one. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
That'll be fun. So how are you going to prepare? What are your plans for Pro Tour Atlanta?
Well, currently I'm playing in Arena, MTG Arena and MTG Online. I'm like drafting. Because I'm really bad at limited. I'm constructed player. So most of my preparation currently is limited. Also because there is no stock list for their constructed decks yet. So I'm waiting if there would be a huge changes for the constructed deck because I want to play their good deck. I want to play the top deck.
Yeah.
So I could achieve something in the Pro Tour. So I'm still waiting for the good lists.
Very cool. So you're doing Magic Online and MTG Arena. So
yeah.
Why? Why are you doing both of them? And tell us what you think about both of them. Like, why do both?
Because I like MTG Arena. Mm-hmm. I mean, like the interface and how they build it is much better than MTGO. Yes, there is a lot of room to improvement there, but I still prefer Arena over MTGO. But in Arena, currently, like, there is no cool tournaments, and also their level of players, I think, is lower than in MTGO, especially if you play something like a PPTQ or like whatever. I'm playing there in Arena because, I have crystals there.
Yeah.
So I could play for free. I'm playing in MTGO because, it's gave me more things to learn.
Yeah. Yeah. More competitive. Cool. Very cool. I just fired up MTG Arena again just recently because I went to the pre-release for Guilds of Ravnica. Mm-hmm. You know, on the back of the token, they had the code that lets you get into a sealed event. Mine didn't actually work, so I actually emailed support to ask them to get me some, to fix it for me. But I did get in there and was fiddling around actually just last night and kind of, you know, learning the interface. It is much cleaner, a much nicer interface. Obviously, very Hearthstone-y. It was nice to, yeah, it just was a little bit smoother. But you're right. I believe that the competition is obviously stiffer on Magic Online because that's just where the entrenched established players are. That's the platform that they're used to. And so that's cool. That's neat that you're doing both to kind of get your limited game on and as you prepare for the Pro Tour. Very neat, very nifty. So good luck, man. We love cheering on past guests.
Thank you.
It's gonna be so fun to see you go off and do that. And oh man, that's really cool. So you mentioned that you're a constructed player. What format do you like?
All the competitive formats. Okay. I don't have preferences.
Ah, good for
standard,
you.
Standard, modern, or legacy doesn't really matter for me.
Good for you. That's nice to be versatile. So the GP Orlando. What format was that? At least.
It was standard.
Excellent. So how did you choose your deck? So let's talk about your preparation process. And so how far out before Orlando did you choose your deck?
That's a story that I'm not proud of. I mean, because there was not so much preparation and stuff. I went to the PT and I planning to stay in the United States for a couple of more tournaments, like to judge GP Charlotte and GP Providence and to play GP Orlando. So for me and my team brought a lot of standard cards. Mm-hmm. So like I could decide the deck because I was still like, I don't know what I'm going to play. After the PT, I asked my friend, Dmitry Butakov. He's a Russian pro player, in the Hariroya team. What he's going to play, in standard and also what he could suggest me to play. And, he said, well, there is the Grixis list. You could try that. I'm going to play that at the European GP this weekend. So I took his list and just like grabbed the cards and went straight to the GP.
Perfect.
So almost no preparation. I mean, like for that kind of list. Once again, I want to say thank you to Dmitry that he suggested me that list.
Cool.
Because that is like a really, really cool list. I really enjoyed played that list.
You know, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. You know, we have friends, we have play groups, Magic is, not a solo event. And so there are other people that we can ask and lean on and get, and, advice from. And so, you went to someone that you trust and you asked, hey, what's good? And he suggested something and you ran with it and you did well. And so that's awesome. That's really cool. As a judge, do you feel you get like a perspective on, the format, being able to, see what decks are doing well or see interactions? Because, a lot of people are like, oh, MTG Goldfish, right? So they go there and we can all see what decks are doing well, kind of across the globe. But as a judge, I would imagine you see like interactions between decks. And do you feel that gives you a different perspective on what decks are doing well?
I think it's working other way.
Really?
Other way around, yeah. Judging helps me to understand their game rules, game interactions, and also the policy interactions. For example, I saw a lot of players at huge tournaments. I mean, that's how they avoid their bad things happens, because usually at that point I just call a judge if I'm a player. But I heard a lot of sad stories about players not making something, not making a day two or not making money or not even making a top eight of the GP, because they don't know how the policy works.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about their the rule interactions. It's more about their the tournament things. I would say there are things that I'm really, really sad that happens to me. When I was judging their GP Las Vegas, their the big one,
mm-hmm.
their two to the 10K one. I was a judge, and I got the judge call at the start of the round. I came to that call, and there was a player who was late in the round, to the table in a round,
mm-hmm.
and I she was calling for herself. She was like, "Well, I'm late," and I was like, "Oh, yeah, sure. So that's you're late. That's a game loss. Blah blah blah." I explained the whole procedure that she's gonna choose who plays first, and so on and so on. And there was the camera on that table.
Okay.
I mean, it's not the coverage, but there was the camera guys walking around,
okay.
the wizards, and they film it. And I was like, yeah, sure. So the lead player, sure, game loss. And she was like, yeah, of course, sure. So they start playing. When the round finished, my team leader asked me, did you issue a game loss for Tardiness this round? I said, yes. It was there for that looking girl. And I was, yes. Did you ask why she's late? And I said, no. Why? Well, because she was delayed to the round by their wizard's coverage.
Oh, whoops.
They made the interview. They interviewed her. So that's why he late in the round.
Oh, no.
And I was like, oh, no.
Did she lose that round?
I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, at that point, I ask, and I don't remember.
Yeah.
So, but that was for me was a blast, and I was like, "Oh, why I didn't ask?"
Oh man,
it's not about why she didn't tell me, because obviously she was quite shy, and it's not her fault. It's mm-hmm. completely my fault
mm-hmm.
because I didn't ask. So. That's how I learned that I always have to ask why the player late in the round.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a thing that happens from the stories of many players I heard, because they just don't know how the things work. They late in the round because of something. I don't know. I hear the stories when the player said to the judge, can I go to the bathroom at the end of the round? He went to the bathroom. He came back late. Another judge came to the table, didn't ask why he's late. He didn't say that he went to the bathroom and tell to the judge. He said, I went to the bathroom, but he didn't say that he informed the judge.
Informed the judge,
so
yeah.
They said, well, you're late, game loss. And he didn't appeal. He didn't say hold on, I say to the judge and so on and so on. He just being humble. So he get a game loss, he lost. Mm. He maybe lose a chance to the day two or something like that. That's not a thing that we should be proud of. I mean, as a judges, when we didn't investigate that kind of things,
mm-hmm.
but also a lot of players just don't do the things. They don't appeal.
They don't know. Yeah. Yeah.
But they should because they don't know. So.
Wow. That's a really interesting, thank you for sharing that. It's so neat to be able to talk to, a judge and get that other side and get some of those tips and those insight things. And so, sounds like you're allowed to explain the situation. And obviously as long as you're, respectful about it and you can explain what happened or appeal and try and have your case heard, because there might be situations where, you don't have to get a loss or just get an extension or something like that as opposed to just getting the loss. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So as I said, it works more, other way around. Just from the player's perspective, I just, take those things, the judging things. When I'm judging, it's much easier for me to judge than events because I'm a competitive player. I know how competitive player thinks. Well, at least
mm-hmm.
I would like to think that I know. And I know their like most common decks, the interactions and that kind of things. Like I don't need to read all the cards. Uh-huh. Obviously, I will read the card, like every card, even if I'm sure that this card do when I get called. But still, when I observe in the game, I can understand what's happening in the game, especially when we're talking about their the old formats. Like if we're talking about the Legacy GP, if you don't play Legacy, most of the things would looks for you pretty weird. Like there is no creatures on the board, there is nothing happens, and then boom, you lose.
That's yeah. Oh man. Well, thank you again. That is really good perspective. I love when we have judges on and we're able to talk about that for sure. So that's cool. So we're kind of turning the corner here and headed off to wrapping up the show. And we talked about where you're going to be in the future, both as a judge and as a player. And we wish you the best of luck there. I want to remind the Prodigies that if you want to connect with Arseny, you can find him on Twitter at @Sid_Randall. And that's Sid with a C. But you'll also find him in the MTG Pro Tutor Facebook group. And that might be a better place to find him because you'll be able to do a post and tag him. And then you can say thanks for being on the show, ask him questions. But that's where you can find him, is in the Facebook group. So Arseny, what is one last parting piece of guidance you have for us? Either something you already said that you want to emphasize, or something new you want to leave with us here, or something new you want to leave with us here at the end, or another perspective from a judge that you feel players can benefit from?
I would say play Magic, travel, meet new people, learn new culture and languages. That's how you make yourself feel better and how you make yourself better as well. Because when you travel and when you see other cultures, you start to understand how the things work around the world, even if it looks for you pretty weird at the beginning. At some point, you will realize that's maybe a like maybe you think it's weird because you just get used to other things, but actually maybe it's better for you to learn something from that culture and take it and be a better person.
Love it. Arseny, I want to acknowledge you and I want to thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us today and share your experiences both as a player and as a judge. I recognize your contributions to the multiverse and want to thank you and say that you are a hero among planeswalkers, and it's been a blast chatting with you. And I hope that you are never mana screwed, you always draw what you need, and that you depart every plane victorious.
Thank you very much, Sean. And once again, thank you for inviting me. Really enjoyed talking to you, and thank you for everyone who listened to that podcast.
And that's it. Episode 306 is all wrapped up. We just finished chatting with none other than Arseny Yegorov. You see, I've been practicing much better than I did in the intro there. So Arseny, thank you so much for coming on to the show. And I really appreciate your time and your talents. And Prodigies, I really hope that you learned as much as I did and that you enjoyed having Arseny here on the show. So of course, you can find the show notes at mtgprotutor.com/Arseny Yegorov. And that's pretty fun to say, but hard to spell. So it's Arseny Yegorov. So Arseny Yegorov, who might in fact be, I'm pretty sure, the first Russian guest that we had here on the show. So that is pretty cool. Arseny, you are making MTG Pro Tutor history. As we wrap things up, I want to say good luck to everybody who's going out to GP Denver or GP Nagoya. Please let us know how you're doing. And of course, if you make top eight, let me know. We'll have you here on the show. You can be a featured guest on the show. You can be a listener turned guest, which of course is the goal here. It warms my heart when that happens. So anyways, one last shout out. Huge thank you to Paragon City Games. Check them out at ParagonCityGames.com. They provide the prize support for our monthly giveaways as well as our sealed leagues, and they're just an awesome, awesome company to be associated with. So thank you, Paragon City Games, for sponsoring the show. So an even bigger thank you to you, a big warm hug, and I really appreciate your support. So patrons, thank you, thank you, thank you. And finally, congratulations again to Nikki, who is our patron winner for the September giveaway. And a congratulations to Zach Farmer, who is the winner of the M19 Sealed League. Man, a lot of stuff happened here in the last week, and I'm so excited to share it with you. And I look forward to connecting with you and doing some of these fun activities with you here in the future. So stay tuned. Until next time, I am Sean of The Gathering, and we will see you in the next cast.
This round of MTG Pro Tutor is over. So you don't miss a single episode of MTG Mastery. Be sure to subscribe to the show on your preferred podcast listening service for more exclusive interviews, deck building tips, and elite content, or visit mtgprotutor.com to stream it straight from the source. We look forward to helping you think and play like a pro.